Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. It followed her to school one day, which was against the rule. It made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school. And so the teacher turned it out, but still it lingered near and waited patiently about till Mary did appear. The nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb, was first published in 1830. Believe it or not, it is actually based on a true event involving Mary Elizabeth Sawyer. And as the story goes, Mary was 9 and helping her father with farm chores, and they discovered a sickly newborn sheep in the pen. And well, it had been abandoned by its mother. After a lot of pleading and pestering her father, he agreed to allow Mary to raise the lamb. Sometime later, and it's not known when, Mary was heading to school with her brother, and when they looked back, the lamb was following them. Being kids, they thought, how cool. So they allowed the lamb to follow them all the way to school. Once there, Mary kind of put the pet under her desk and covered it with her blanket. The only problem is Mary got called to the front of the room for class to recite her assignments. And as she did, and she was walking up the aisle, up the center aisle, there the lamb was loping behind her. And the kids thought it was hilarious. The teacher? Not so much. The teacher shooed the lamb out, and here's the thing, the lamb didn't run away. As the story goes, it stayed right outside the schoolhouse until Mary came out and took the lamb home personally. The next day, John Rolston, a student a year older than Mary, handed Mary a piece of paper with a poem he had written about the previous day's events. Later, the poem was put to music that we now have called Mary Had a Little Lamb. And as most of us know, if you're history buffs, this was the first thing that was recorded on Thomas Edison's phonograph. Mary Had a Little Lamb. And today in Sterling, Massachusetts, if you're a person that likes to go on vacations and look at weird things, there is actually a statue of the lamb noting the birthplace of the nursery rhyme, Mary Had a Little Lamb. And the little one-room schoolhouse in Redstone, it's still there. You can still walk through and see where Mary's lamb came. Isn't that a cool story? And it fits so well with where we're going, because guess what? Over the last part of this year here, we're going to get a little sheepish, okay? This is the last sermon series of the year. It's going to go all the way to the end of the year. It's going to wind through Christmas with this particular theme. And if you'll remember, our big theme for this year has been be still and know that I'm God. And so we spent the first half of the year all talking about being still. And then the back part of the year, first we got to know God by going all the way back to creation. Then we got to know God by wandering through his house and looking at his design living space. Then we got to know God by stepping out of his house and walking through God's neighborhood and learning to love the people that God so loved. And well, now it's take your child to work day. You remember those when we were kids? I always hated that day, because I had to ride on my dad's laundry truck all the time, and that just meant he got me earlier in the day. It just meant that I had more work to do, because, you know, that's just the way it worked. I'd imagine what take your son to work today would look like for me. Hey, son, walk down the hall, and you just sit on the futon and watch me look at the computer all day long. That would be take your son to work day. So he didn't bring my Switch with me? Sure. So this is going to be take your child to work day. And when we talk about this, remember, we usually see Jesus as a carpenter. That's what it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. So everybody, we usually see, when we ask, what did Jesus do for a living? He was a carpenter. Maybe you step one step beyond that, and we know Jesus as a teacher and a prophet, right? I mean, he set up and he taught and he prophesied and he healed and he did all that. I guess he could have been a doctor because he did heal. But we see Jesus as a teacher and a prophet. But we need to know that Jesus saw his profession as a shepherd. This is what he called himself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so when Jesus calls himself a shepherd, we have to be aware shepherds are all about sheep. You know, when we talk about Mary and her little lamb, ironically, if not for the lamb, Mary would have just been another farm girl in Massachusetts and probably would have had no claim to fame whatsoever. That little one-room schoolhouse, let's face it, it probably would have gone the way as most of the one-room schoolhouses have gone. It would have been bulldozed, and maybe there'd be a parking lot or a shopping mall there now. But it's sitting there, all because of the lamb. But the lamb really wasn't all that special either. After all, the creature didn't talk. It didn't say it was a prize-winning sheep. As a matter of fact, it was a sick and abandoned little sheep that did what sheep do. It followed. What made the moment so memorable was it was all about the relationship. See, Mary took care of the sheep when it was abandoned. And therefore, the lamb began to identify with Mary. And well, it did what it was supposed to do. The lamb followed Mary wherever Mary went. Didn't need a leash. Didn't need to say, come on. It just kind of followed her along. And well, even when the rules said no, the lamb refused to leave Mary until she herself took her home. I love that story because that looks very familiar, doesn't it? Isn't this kind of how we see our relationship with Jesus? We see it as, you know what, when we were sick and abandoned, Jesus came. And he took care of us, and now we identify with Jesus. And now we say we're going to follow Jesus. And even when the rules say don't follow Jesus, we're going to wait and we're going to be faithful and we're going to stand right there beside Jesus. The story sounds very familiar. But like most stories, we need to remember. The only reason we know Mary had a little lamb is somebody took the time to teach it. Maybe it was your preschool teacher. Maybe it was your mom or your dad. Maybe you had a record or, okay, the older kids, like, what's a record? The younger kid, what's a record? Maybe you had a CD or something on your phone when you were five, because nowadays they have phones when they're five, right? So maybe you had something, but somebody shared this story. So when I read that poem, you knew exactly what I was talking about. So we need to understand that this story of Jesus is something that we're supposed to share. It's the reason people know about it. And the reason we struggle with why do we need to share the story is because, honestly, we've got the wrong picture of what we're supposed to be in the story. And Mary had a little lamb. Am I Mary or am I the sheep? Well, obviously, right? I'm the sheep. Let's think about that thought for a moment. Let's start with this guy named Peter. We know him. So this morning I want to introduce you to Peter the sheep. Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on the shore and left everything and followed him. Good sheep, right? Good sheep. You got the message. And you know what? Unless you've been asleep for the past 9 years, you're thinking, I know that verse. I've heard that verse. And you should, because that is the verses that we tie to our vision statement, our mission statement, how we see people coming into a relationship with Christ is they go from the community to the crowd to the connected, and the connected to the committed. And this is not that sermon. You know that because the blanks are already filled in for you. So we might be back to this again later. But this is how we see it, and it comes right from that story. But it's important because in that story, Peter saw himself as a sheep. And well, like any sheep, when you're following, Peter has his ups. Peter, he's the sheep that walked on water. Peter, he's the sheep that first acknowledged who Jesus is. Peter, he's the one that got to deliver the very first gospel message at Pentecost. Peter, he's the first preacher to the Gentiles. Peter the sheep. Of course, wasn't all roses for Peter. Peter had his downs too. Remember, this is Peter. Not so, Lord. You know how many times Peter used that phrase over and over? No, God, that's not how it's going. Jesus, you need to listen to me. I'm in charge of this. This is Peter. Selfish ambition. Lord, we've left everything for you. What do we get out of this? What's in it for me? Peter, the guy that showed favoritism to the Jews that Paul had to call him out on. Peter, the guy that denied Jesus. And I point all this out because when we start thinking about living the Christian life, we start thinking about all the rules and regulations and how we're supposed to live this Christian life perfectly as good sheep. But what I need you to see is that Peter did not live perfectly. He lived purposefully. You see, Peter was not perfect in his walk. Peter had a purpose in the way that he walked. And you know what else you need to know about Peter? Peter was not a sheep. You see, Peter did not consider himself a sheep. This is what it says in John chapter 21, verse 15. Excuse me, I skipped my slide there. Peter absolutely lived his... I didn't even put the slide in there, so I'll go through it anyway. Peter absolutely followed this relationship all the way with Jesus. He followed him all the way to the grave. Remember, Peter eventually gave his life for Jesus. And now we can tell you, Peter did not live his relationship as a sheep. John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." When we arrive at John chapter 21, we know exactly what's happened. Peter's gone through the most brutal episode of his life. He denied Christ. He said he was going to follow. He didn't follow. He didn't do what he said he was going to do. He abandoned him at the cross. And well, as the story opened, Peter's gone back to what Peter did best. Exactly where Jesus found him to start with. Where is he at? Down on the boat fishing. He's given up the life that he said he was going to live. And you would think Jesus would have every right to show up and say, "Look, you made your bed, now sleep in it. You're the one that denied me. You're the one that left me. You're the one that didn't do what you said. Just get over yourself. Peter, I'm done with you." But that's not Jesus. Jesus gives him a promotion. Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Peter, let's chat for a moment. You see, Peter, all these years you've been listening to Mary had a little lamb. You see yourself as the sheep following the shepherd. No. You're supposed to be the shepherd leading the sheep. Peter, you're not called to be a sheep. You are called to be a shepherd. So I'm going to give you a promotion. Stop thinking of yourself like a sheep. Start thinking of yourself like a shepherd." Now, why is this important? Well, because we love to call our sheep ourselves sheep, right? God's flock. That's what we are. I'm just a sheep. Bah, right? Just a sheep. But when you begin to think about a sheep, you should remember that it's a very peaceful image. We can find it in Scripture. And when you enter the relationship, you are a sheep. But guess what? What does a sheep do? Well, a sheep is, it eats. It sleeps. It listens. Sometimes. It provides some wool here and there. Maybe even participates in giving birth to some new sheep at some point in this life. But being called a sheep was never supposed to be a compliment. That's not the way it was supposed to work. You see, being called a sheep, remember what sheep were for. What did they use sheep for? They sacrificed them. As a matter of fact, in Jewish culture, the only thing that is worse than being called a sheep being called a pig. Sheep weren't considered that valuable. And so when you begin to talk about a sheep, we begin to talk about the problems. Being called a sheep means that we're really self-serving creatures. What does it say? Feed me. Bah. Watch me. Bah. Lead me. Bah. Shear me. Bah. Protect me. Bah. Take care of me. Isn't that what a sheep is all about? Again, think about it. It's not a compliment. Again, think about it. It's not the goal of the relationship. Jesus never called anybody to be a sheep. If you're just a sheep, then guess what? You cannot and will be unwilling to fulfill your purpose. Because what do sheep do when things get going rough? Well, they do one of two things. They either attempt to run away or they die. You're not ever going to be willing to put yourself out there if all you think about is that I am just a sheep trying to do the best I can with this life God gave me. I'm trying to follow God as best I can. You're never going to be willing to step out beyond yourself. Bah, I'm just a sheep. I just want somebody to take care of me. I just want somebody to look after me. Interesting enough, the Apostle Paul, who Azariah mentioned earlier, he wrote a lot of the books of the Bible. Did you know he only talked about sheep once? That was in Romans 8:36, and it was to show how invaluable he was. Because guess what? He thought he wasn't just a sheep. Peter didn't teach it. Paul didn't teach it. Jesus didn't teach it. You're not supposed to be just a sheep. Well, wait a minute. I've been taught that my whole life. I understand. This was one of those aha moments I had this past year when I was looking around. We begin to complain because people want to just sit or people aren't doing or it's not working. And then I looked and went, well, they're doing exactly what we teach them to do. If you're just a sheep, then you just have to sit and wait for somebody to come take care of you. See, you're not supposed to be just a good sheep. When Jesus looked out across the world and he saw sheep, it said that he sobbed for them. Why? Because they didn't have a shepherd. You see, this idea that I am just supposed to be a sheep and wait for everything to be taken care of so that I can just come and sit and enjoy, that's not the way this is supposed to work. God says, you can't just be a sheep. You need to understand who you are when you call yourself a Christian. So let me help you out. If you were a follower of Christ before Jesus, guess what? You indeed were a sheep. There was a term that went with your word sheep. It was called lost sheep. You had no shepherd. You had no one to follow. You wandered around here and there, and you lived your life in danger. After Jesus, you were still a sheep to start. Just like Peter, just like back at the beginning when Jesus said, follow me, Peter was also a sheep, but he was a found sheep. He identified himself with a shepherd, but he didn't stay there. Because again, Jesus never called anybody to be a sheep. He called you to be a shepherd. Well, wait a minute now. That sounds difficult. Yes, it is. Wait a minute. That shepherds don't sit much, do they? Shepherds are always on the move. By the way, I had an offer this week, just so you know, I was a very good boy this week, because somebody actually offered to loan me a live sheep to bring into church to drive my point home. I did not take them up because I'm not a sheep fan. But I thought, you're looking to see if he's going to come walking down the aisle now, right? Man, that's good. I've got y'all thinking that way. But here's the deal. You're not called to be a sheep. A shepherd is what you recall. And a shepherd is one that has a ministry relationship with sheep. You see the difference? Go back to Mary had a little lamb. If I am just a sheep, then all I have to do is look and see where Mary is going. In this case, we'll substitute the name Jesus. And all I have to do is when Jesus moves, I move, right? Every move I make, I'm just going to follow right along with Jesus wherever he goes. Has anybody seen Jesus lately? I mean, physically. I'm not talking metaphorically or you found him in Scripture. So where are we supposed to go? Well, that means we're going to go to heaven. Now, well, maybe eventually, but that's not the goal either. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. So here's the deal. When Jesus left, he put a shepherd in charge. He put Peter. Well, Peter's not here anymore either. And as they passed it down from person to person, guess what? Everybody that was in the church was trained. You're supposed to be a shepherd, not a sheep. Now, we're all shepherds following the shepherd, but you understand, you're supposed to be a shepherd. And shepherds are about as unselfish as you get, don't you think? I mean, I've never been a shepherd, but I've been around enough animals to know animals are kind of like kids. They're a lot of work. They tend to go wherever they want to go, and you have to go and corral them. And like I said, I had a granny that lived on the farm, so I had enough experience with the animals to know that I don't ever want to be a farmer. But you understand, if you're going to take care of sheep, then this is going to take time, energy, effort, resources, and sometimes it's going to get downright messy and smelly. Because guess what? That's being a shepherd. See, we don't need any more good sheep. We got plenty of good sheep. You know what we need? We need some great shepherds. We need the church to take that next step and stop seeing itself as just a sheep. Start seeing yourself as I am a shepherd. So I'm going to help you out. This is Shepherding 101. If you're going to be a shepherd, there is one thing you must have. And if you don't have it, you can't be a shepherd. You know what it is? You have to have sheep. You can't do it. If you don't have a sheep, you may not call yourself a shepherd. So this morning, if you're in the sound of my voice, I'd like you to take inventory of your life and ask yourself, who is my sheep? Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's somebody else in the church. Maybe it's your neighbor. But you do understand you've got to have somebody in your life that you focus yourself. You know, I am going to pour myself into that person, and I am going to lead them in the way that I'm going. Well, I'm following Jesus. So if I teach them to follow me, then by osmosis, they begin to follow Jesus. But if you don't have a sheep, then you don't get to call yourself a shepherd. And if all you are is just a sheep, then you're not living up to what God called you to be. So the question this morning is, are you just a sheep? Are you living your Christian life in such a way that you're just kind of like, okay, I survived another day. I got through another thing. Yeah, they took a little wool off my back, but it'll grow back. But are you just surviving? Are you just going through your Christian life just being served? Or have you taken an alternate view? Okay, yeah, I am a sheep. Trust me, I can be pretty dumb. All right, I am a sheep. But in Jesus, he called me to be so much more. He called me to be a shepherd. He called me to look into people's lives that they're wandering and they're lost and they're looking. And he called me to be a shepherd. And you're probably thinking, well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to be. You understand, that's not a pastoral calling. That's a follower calling. Ken, Patty, Emily, Lizzie, Lynn, Gary, Brenda, Thomas, Carol, Nancy, Patty, Amber, Linda, Benji, Deborah, Caleb. Guess what? We are all sitting here in shepherd training so that we can go out and lead sheep. And Bud, I saw you over there at the corner of my eye, so you're not excluded. Bud, too. We are called to be sheep. And Lauren on the other side. See, my peripheral vision is so good. Lauren on the other side. We are called to lead. And Alice. Yeah, this is why I don't usually call names, because then I forget somebody. And Evelyn and Margaret. There you go. Everybody, you get it. Y'all, okay, y'all get it. Everybody here is called to be a shepherd. Step one. Go find yourself a sheep. Go find somebody that you can pour your life into. Somebody that will follow you as you follow Christ. Because that is the model that Jesus showed. Now, over the next few weeks, I'm going to leave you right here. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about what does a great shepherd look like, and what does a not so great shepherd look like. We're going to talk about how to go about being the shepherds that God called us to be. I called the sermon series sheepish, but guess what? This is really about shepherding the flock that God has given us and the flock that we'd like God to have for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you know what? You're one of those lost sheep. You're still kind of wandering around. Got a good news for you. You're in the right place. We can help you. If you find yourself wandering through life aimlessly, we can hook you up with a shepherd here, and they can sit down and turn the pages of God's Word. They can show you what it means to get an association with the good shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus. Because that's what we're about. So if you're here today and you have that, then you know what? Please stop. Talk with Bud as you're leaving. Talk with anybody here. But if you're here today and you've already taken care of that and you identify yourself as a Christian, a follower of Christ, then I have one question for you. Where's your sheep? Because how can you be a shepherd if you have no sheep? Would you please stand? We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. Heavenly Father, first I have to say I'm sorry. Because God, sometimes I am very sheepish, God. Lord, I come in and I want to sit in my seat and have somebody sing to me, have somebody serve me, have somebody take care of me, because it feels good. I want to know that I'm loved. And God, while being taken care of is important, it's important that everybody have a shepherd. We understand that you are our shepherd, God. And if that's the case, then you take care of our needs, and it is our responsibility to be shepherds to those that are still trying to find their way to you, God. And I have to confess, I don't always do that the way that I should do it, Lord. So God, I pray that over the next few weeks, as we're talking about this topic of shepherding, God, that you will open our hearts, you will open our minds, you will open our thoughts to being a follower of you, God. But not just a follower. Being a leader of sheep, God. Those who you came and you gave your life for. Thank you for this day. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.